2 Samuel chapter 6, probably pretty familiar to you. I hope you read your Bible. I'm reading back through my Bible again, and every morning, there's things jump out at you, you know. You say, man, I didn't see that before, but I have seen this before. And I preached along this line before, but I think the day that we're in and the stage that some of you are in, I think we need this. And it's really a Sunday morning message. The whole crowd ought to hear it, but I thought tonight most of you are more serious about your spirituality. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali, that's as close as I can get, of Judah. Bully Falkenberry one time, he said, no wonder them people fight. You can't pronounce their names. If you say it wrong, it's bad, you know. Baali of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwell between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Now, if that's all you know about that story, it sounds kind of bad. I mean, it sounds like God has killed an innocent man. And this man only wanted to do something good. But I'm going to explain that in just a minute in more detail to where you'll understand exactly what really did happen. That's why it's important to study the Word. Amen. To show thyself approved, a workman unto God, need not be ashamed. A lot of people will take a passage and they'll take it out of context and they'll ruin it or they'll mislead you. But I wanted to just say a couple things tonight. God has a way. God has a way with everything. God has set in order everything in creation. He has things in an order. He does everything like He tells us to do, decently and in order. And from the creation, God has set these things. And before the foundation of the world was ever laid, it was already in the mind of God. Now they talk about DNA, you know, they got these DNA strands and it's got so many million parts to it and want to tell you how your ear to grow or your eye to grow, your hair to grow, you know. It's like a computer chip program, you know, something like that. Well, God made that. You think that just happened? Even if it did just happen, do you think that it could happen right now? There's 7 billion people on planet Earth, and that's not counting the birds and the beasts. They all have them too. You think that's an accident, that just happens? No, God made those programs. He is the supreme programmer, amen? That's not an accident. So God has an order in the universe. He put the sun where it is. You ever wonder why the sun doesn't move? You know. He put the planets where they are. It's all for a purpose. He put the stars where they are. It's all for a purpose, every bit of it. By Him were all things created. By Him all things consist. And so God has ways and orders that He set up things. And we're not supposed to always understand it, but sometimes we can understand it. But an ignorance of knowing God is not an excuse. In ignorance of not knowing God's ways is not an excuse with God. There's no excuses with God. He made the way. He made the order. He set the things up. And so when you get to thinking about that, He orders everything in life. He orders life. He orders love. He orders marriage. He orders work. Did I say that? He orders work. Didn't get no amens on that. He orders work. That's a four-letter word, but it's not a curse word. And but yeah, he said, man don't work, he ought not eat. And he has a purpose for that. He has set in order money. He's set in order men and women and salvation and service. And if you get any of those things out of order, then it's dangerous because you mess up what God has already set up. Heard on news the other day, said, well, what difference does it make if a man or a woman gets confused and thinks the man's a woman and the woman's a man? And now they even got something they don't even call that. This andromen or something. They don't think they're male or female. Amen. Some kind of weirdo thing. It just used to be LGBT. Now it's LGBTIQ. It just, the whole alphabet's in there now. Yeah. It might as well just call them the alphabet. Amen. are they hurting? Well, God's got an order. And number one, they're hurting themselves. And number two, they're hurting people around them. It's not that we hate people. We just don't want people to get out of God's order. There's an order in the marriage. You get the marriage wrong, order wrong, your marriage is not going to work. Yeah. There's an order in raising children. You don't raise them in that order, the children will turn out wrong. Amen? Believe it or not, there's an order in church. There's an order in church services. Some people around here think I'm too strict on church service. Some think I'm not strict enough. You can't please everybody. By the way, I've been doing this a lot longer than you have. I would know a little bit. But there's an order. And you get that out of order. And just let me park it right here. This ain't even in my sermon, BJ. Write this down somewhere. Okay, you need to remember this. Church is not a free fall. Amen. And it's not a karaoke service either. And it ain't Mike night either. If I could think of any other stupid thing like that to say, I'd throw it in there too. The church has an order. God has set up that order. And if you get it out of order, it's not going to be a church anymore and God's not going to bless it. He sets everything in order. In the Old Testament, He set the law in order. He set the laws, the rules that He made after the law, the dietary laws, the cleanliness laws, the personal laws. He set all those in there. He told them how to build that ark. Is that the Ark of the Covenant, what this is talking about? You remember the Ark of the Covenant? It's just a little box, you know, and it covered with gold, and on top of it had a mercy seat, and that was covered with gold, and it had those seraphim, and they were covering their faces with their wings, you know, pointing toward that mercy seat, and it had doors on it. You could open doors, and inside of it, you would see those Ten Commandments, and you would see the rod that budded, Aaron's rod. You'd see a little bit of that manna, and you'd see that mercy seat on top, and that's where that God met them, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness. Now, God had a reason for all that, see. And so in this story, as we look at this story, I'm trying to prepare it a little bit so you understand it. The Israelites had been taken captive many times because they got disobedient with God, got out of order, and God allowed them to be invaded and taken over. And somebody had taken the Ark of the Covenant captive, and they went and got it, and for years they prayed for it, wanted it, now they've got it, and boy, they're happy. But where they went to get it, those people didn't know the order. They thought if they got it, that the power of God came with it. Well, the power of God didn't come with it. It came against them because they had it, and that was out of order. And they had it set up wrong, and that was out of order. So God brought things against those people. And then finally, the Israelites get to go get it, and it's being recovered. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The people of God, they're getting the ark back. Boy, they're singing. and they got all kind of instruments going. You know, they're praying and they're playing and they're singing and they headed back toward home with the ark, you know. And the people are rejoicing. That was good. The ark was being recovered. That's good. David, they had a godly king. David, he was leading them. That was good. Well, then what went wrong? Because a man died. And that's bad. Well, it symbolized God's presence. Now, you can't handle God just anyway. Would you listen to me? Most of these pop-up churches around here, they're not doing anything but handling God the way they think that it ought to be handled. A lot of biblical ignorance. A lot of wildfire. You don't hear that much anymore. A lot of wildfire. That means fire that didn't come from God. They think they're doing things right, but then they can't understand why God doesn't bless it. They just can't understand. Why doesn't God bless it? We're trying to serve God. We're trying to have a church here. Well, there's an order. What you want to do is good, but you can do good things wrong and it not be good, turn out bad. Amen? And so now the Ark of the Covenant. Turn to Numbers chapter 4. This will help you understand it a little bit more. Numbers chapter 4. Now the Lord's telling Moses and Aaron how to set up the tabernacle. And I'm not going to have you read that whole chapter. We're just going to read verses 5, 6, and 15. Now the Lord's telling them how to set up the tabernacle. Now the Lord is telling him who can handle the things of the tabernacle. Moses didn't pick them. They didn't get a committee together to do it. Committees usually, yeah. Chapter 4, look at verse 5. And when the camp setteth forward, or it moves forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, that's over the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and cover the ark of testimony with it. In other words, the tabernacle was built in three different sections. You know, the common people could go out here and then had a holy place where they made the sacrifices and the burnt offerings, and then it had the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where the mercy seat was, and that's where once a year the blood made atonement for the children of Israel. And God said, now only these people can have anything to do with this part. Now look at it. The Ark of the Testament. That's the Ark of the Covenant. And shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. That was these big long poles, wooden, covered in gold. And the Ark had rings on the sides, had rings. And they'd slide those poles through those rings. They never touched the Ark. Never touched. Verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and of all and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bury it. But they shall not, class, read me that word, touch any holy thing, lest they what? These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now that's the order God had. He said, now these are the people that cover it, Levi, sons of Levi, you know. And look, they cover it, but they don't touch it. And then these other men, they come, they slide the poles through, but they don't touch it. Then they carry it by the poles. They never touched it. He said, because if they do, they die. Now, there's several reasons for that, and I'm not preaching on that tonight, but there's several reasons for that that I'll get more to in a minute. But I want you to notice in what we were reading over there in chapter 6. Look at verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. Now I want you to notice this. Listen. This ark was really, really precious to them. You know why? It represented and came with it the power and the presence of a holy God. Unlike those idols everybody else worshiped, this God manifested himself around that little box. And he had the way to take care of it. He told them exactly how to build it. He told them exactly what to put in it. He told them how to handle it and how if you don't do it right and you touch it, you're going to die. He told them that. He didn't say if you're good or you're bad. He didn't say if you're a priest or you're not a priest. He just said, if he touches it, he'll die. Now, you know what would happen if you stood before God in your present condition right now? Even saved people. You know what would happen to you? You'd die. We couldn't stand in this present condition in the presence. Now, that cloud that came down and that fire at night around that tabernacle, that was a manifestation. Just a manifestation of God. God was in it, but that wasn't all God. They couldn't have stayed in the presence of all God. The holiness of God, the purity of God would have killed them. That's why we've got to be translated. We've got to be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye. We've got to put on a different body than what we've got now because this is old sin-tainted body. If you ever think that ain't you anymore, you might need to get a checkup. We couldn't. Now we can go before the presence of the manifestation of God. God will manifest himself among us. He said, I'll send my comforter. He said, pray for power, power of the Holy Spirit. But God himself's never come down amongst us and shown himself completely, or we'd have died. Because see, the holy can't be around the unholy, and the unholy can't be around the holy. You say, well, I'm holy. The only holiness you got is him. You're carrying his holiness. He's covered you in his holiness. Now, they carried it wrong. They just simply carried it wrong. You say, well, why would God kill somebody? That was just a mistake. No, it wasn't. He knew better. It was passed down from generation to generation. They didn't have literature books, they had a Bible. They didn't have newspapers, they had a Bible. They didn't have Facebook, they had a Bible. So there you are. Now, listen, they carried it wrong. Number one, look at 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. I got to get back over there myself. 1 Samuel chapter 6. You still with me? Look at verse 1. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. And they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering, and then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Now they're giving a warning, see. Now turn over to verse 7. He said, now therefore make a new cart, and take 2 milk cows, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the cows to the cart, the kine, and bring their calves home from them. Now, they modernized it. They said, well, we're going to have to do something. We can't just send this thing away.
We got to do something to please God. Now, this is not Israel saying this, okay? And so they put it on a new cart made out of wood. And they said, we'll just get our best cows to pull it, you know. And so they thought they were doing real good. They modernized it. And look, the Philistines' way is always the world's way. They should have carried it. They should have called some Levites. The Levites should have put the sticks through the rings and carried it. They shouldn't have touched it. You say, well, why didn't those people die? Because they didn't know God's law. They didn't know God's law. That thing wasn't made for them to start with. It was made for Israel. God didn't recognize them. God didn't, bless them just because they had that thing. And God didn't kill them because they handled it wrong either. You say, well, he did Israelite. That's because he should have known better. You still with me? David said, why do the wicked prosper? How many of y'all as Christians can just do anything you want to and don't nothing go wrong? You did before you got saved. You see, God doesn't whip the devil's children. He only whips his own. Now, ignorance is not bliss. Every man will give account. God will offer salvation to everybody. He's not willing any should perish. He wants everybody saved, but not everybody is saved. So you and I, we go to church and we try to make things right. We try to keep things right. We try to honor God. We try to live holy. We try to walk right, talk right, spit white. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. we try to be good Christians, and then when we don't, we get a whipping. Hebrews chapter 12 says, God chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. If you've not been chastened, you're not one of his. He said that, I didn't. Now wait a minute, he said, if you've not been chastened, see, he don't whip the devil's children. Now don't get me wrong, he makes things happen to everybody everywhere. He gives everybody opportunities. He gives wake up calls. He convicts everybody. He draws everybody. He does things that will, you know, make people see there is a God, you know, and be drawn to him. But why did the wicked prosper? And what that means is, how can they live in such ungodly ways and get by with it? And you and I, we can't always spit on the sidewalk without getting a whip. The Lord whips us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Thank you. Because if he didn't whip you, you wouldn't be one of his. Now, these people handled it. But they were Philistines. They worshipped idols. They were ignorant and unlearned and lost and blind, and they didn't know the law of God. They just knew that wherever this thing went, God was supposed to go with it, but it wasn't working out, so they said Israel can have it back. And then Israel goes to get it. And when they get there, they didn't know the Philistine had modernized it. There's people come here want to modernize church. Preacher, we need some of them colored lights. We need some of that smoke rolling while we're singing, you know. They do that. They got it now in church. It's ice smoke or something. It's made out of what?
Dry
ice smoke. It rolls. Reminds me of a Dracula movie. And it rolls. I said, Dracula's fixing to come out any minute and preach to us. Amen. 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 Then the hymns look like hers and the hers look like hymns. And preacher, you try and take us back to the 1950s. No, I won't take you all the way back to the beginning. There wasn't nothing magic about the 50s. People just wasn't as wicked as they are now. There was more saved people then than there are now. But I wouldn't want... Hey, I wouldn't want to go back to the 50s. I'm wanting to go all the way back to the first century. Amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to be sitting up there while Paul preached till midnight. Amen. Well, y'all wouldn't say that if I preached till midnight. They modernize it. They put it on a cart. The world's way. The world will come in and say, man, we need to jazz up this music. We need to get some... This is no joke. This is no joke. Now, I'm being serious. I went in Shepherd Fold Bookstore yesterday. Anyway, I went to Shepherd Fold Bookstore. And I got the license that we didn't have Sunday night. And went up there to pay. And I'm standing up there, and I'm thinking this guy standing over here beside me talking to another person. I'm thinking this guy is homeless or something. Serious. He had old long, curly hair, greasy. I mean, it was greasy, and it was pulled all down his face like this, and down about there. He's in his 60s, late 50s, 60s. He had on a T-shirt, black T-shirt with some kind of emblems on it. He had on these designer jeans that the back pockets had all kinds of studs in them, but they were ripped from here to here to here to here to here to here, top to bottom. He looked dirty. Look, I'm telling you, he looked homeless. And as he began to talk to these people at the bookstore, he was a pastor. Serious. Now, I've seen some bad ones. That's the worst I've ever seen. And I thought to myself, modernized. Boy, you go to this church, I'll guarantee you, they got some new stuff going on there. But the point being, only following God's directions gives life. Sin brings death. Disobedience brings death. Would y'all agree with that? Death spiritually, death physically. And so they modernized it. And what they should have done was, whether they understood it or not, whether they were there when the commandment was given the first time or not, they should have done what God said to do. And it was years, generations when that order was given. But they should have done it anyway. Uzziah was also of the wrong family. He was a wrong family. Did you know that some of the devil's children can get in on, and you know, they're wolves in sheep's clothing? Now, he wasn't. He was an Israelite, but he was wrong family. He shouldn't have touched him. He was out of order. He was out of his position. And I said it a while ago, I'm going to say it again. Church is the only place where people will walk in that door, don't know anything about the Bible, or very little, haven't been saved over a year or two, and they can tell you exactly the way it ought to be run, and exactly what's going wrong, what's going right, and they'll walk up to me and tell me how it's supposed to be done, and I don't want to hurt their feelings because they're kind of ignorant, you know, but what I want to say is, who do you think you're talking to? I've been doing this a while. I'm not much at riding horses, but I've done it a couple times. You don't have to tell me. I already did it a couple times. I don't want to do it no more, but I've done it a couple. I know how it's supposed to be done. Why don't you preach on this, preacher? Why don't you mind your own business, and if you think something needs to be preached, go get you a church and preach. Amen. I can't believe he said that. Well, if we're going to get the young people in here, here's what we got to do. I've won more young people to the Lord than you'd ever think of. I know how to get them in. The same way you get the old people in. You get them to Jesus Christ. You get them saved by the grace of God. You don't entertain them to death and please them and change the way a 60-year-old man dresses or cuts his hair to appeal. What I think is the wrong family was in getting in that pulpit. Did you know there's some things you'd be better off not to touch if you're not qualified? There's some things you'd be better off not to touch. If you don't know much about the Bible and God hadn't put a burden on your heart to teach Sunday school, you better not do it. And some people will do that just because they think that's some kind of position or something, you know, or title. If God didn't call you to preach, you better not preach. I'm going to tell you, you better not preach. They used to call them jackleg preachers. Now we done run out of legs. There's so many of them. Did you know the devil's family will always have a better way to do things for God? Always got a better way. Well, that's too old-fashioned. Well, if it worked then, why do you think it won't work now? This crowd over here that wanted me to come across the street, which was not exactly ethical, and didn't want y'all. They said, if you bring all them, they'll want to change things. And we've got our positions, and we want to keep our positions. And what I wanted to say, well, there's 15 of you sitting in an auditorium that seats 250 people. How's that working out? What's happened is somebody's in charge of something they shouldn't be in charge of. That's happening all over the place. Did you know that nobody could touch that except those who were appointed to, and then even they had to use wooden sticks? Y'all think preachers and pastors, evangelists and all this stuff are so much greater and so much holier than you? Let me tell you something. When I preach, I have to hold the right stick. You know what it is? Right there. When I first started preaching, and I didn't know anything. I wasn't raised in a Christian home or nothing. I knew I had to go to Bible college. I didn't know one verse. I didn't know anything. And one of the things I learned was this, in the preaching, teaching on preaching, said, doesn't matter what you preach on. Preach on, just take your text and preach on it, and about halfway through it, make you a beeline to the cross, and you'll be right every time. I left this church one time, and when I left, they said, well, all he does is preach about Jesus. That's what they said. They thought that was an insult to me. All he does is preach about Jesus. Hallelujah. They're right. That's all they heard me preach about. And I can tell you right now, I keep my old outlines and stuff. I've got thousands of them. I preached on Christian living. I preached on getting the victory. I preached on family. I preached on all kind of stuff. But at the end of every bit of it, I took them to the cross, because somebody in there was lost every time. You know they were. But all they heard was, he just preached on Jesus. You know why? That's what they needed. Because they didn't understand the other stuff, see. And so look, you can't touch the work of God any old way you want to. You're going to have some holy things to help you. Lift up holy hands. You got to pray. You got to study. You got to separate yourself. You got to come out from among them and be you separate. And you ain't got time to go to every ball game. You don't have time to go to the races. You don't have time to do all that junk. If you do, you got to come home and take a spiritual bath. No man can touch God but through his Son and that cross. Now, there's some cults, man, I'm telling you. You just stay off the internet, probably you'd be better off. There's some cults on there you would not believe now. There's one guy in Mexico now. He makes everybody that joins his church get 666 tattooed right there. He started out saying he was the Christ. He says, but now I'm the Antichrist. And they follow him and they call him God. And I'm not talking about 25 people. I'm talking about 2,500 people. Watch out. You better get close to that wood. You see, this is like This is just like the Ark of the Covenant right there. God's in those pages. The power of God, the presence of God, the teaching of God. All those things are in there, just like the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had the things that represented God in there. Had that showbread and manna. And it had Aaron's rod that budded. And it had the commandments in there. And that's right here. We've got that presence and power of a holy God right there.
Amen.
But you know, there's atheists read that thing. It doesn't affect them. It really kills them. Christians just don't know what to have because they don't read it. But let me tell you something. You're not going to understand that, and you're not going to get what it's got to give you until you go through that thing right there, that wood right there. When you go through that wood, the cross of Jesus Christ, that's the poles, that's the sticks you need to get into the ark of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the eternal security of God. And the only way you're going to get it is you're going to have the right piece of wood to get in it, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Anything else, you'll just end up dead. The wages of sin is death, you'll just end up dead, and you won't go to heaven. And then once you get saved, did you know only God's children can look in this thing?
Amen.
I'm not saying people can't look at it, but they can't understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned." Lost people read it, but they don't know what they're reading. You know why? They ain't never went through the wood to get to it. You got to go through the cross to get to it. And so much more I can say, and I'm out of time. Look, souls can't be saved. People cannot be edified. Churches cannot be built in new ways, but old ways. He tells us to go back to the old paths.
Amen.
Remove not the ancient landmarks, he said. Now look at me, listen. A lot of times the pastor will get up and he'll say stuff and he'll preach and people say, "Man, he's just mean. He's just mean. He won't let me do this. He won't let me do that. He thinks we ain't supposed to do this." No, the pastor is trying, through the power and the presence of a holy God, get you to the things of God so you can enjoy the presence and the power of God. But if you go changing it every week, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, our church, we do this and we do that. That's fine. Do whatever you want to. But I'm going to stay as close to that book as I can stay. Now, I might not always get everything right, but I'm going for the old past. I'm not going for anything new. I grew up in all that new stuff. It don't work. Hey, if rock music is that good, why do they overdose all the time, those that sing it and get famous off of it? If country music's that great, why they die of cirrhosis of the liver? Because they drank themselves to death. Amen. Why is every old rock star and every old country star, when they get too old to sing rock or country, they make a gospel album? Too late. Don't work. So what we got to do in our home, in our personal lives, in our church, in our families, on the job, down at the schoolhouse. We get real close to God and we don't care what everybody else is doing. And we do it His way. You say, "Well, they do it different and it doesn't hurt them." Maybe they're not one of us. They have satanic churches now. Just because it says church doesn't mean God's in it. But they waller on the floor and foam at the mouth. Well, in the Bible, that was demon possession. I'm going to go for the old path. And I'm going to stay close to the old ways. And look, and you don't have to go there. I'm out of time. But verse 6 and 7, if you go back and read it tonight, I wrote myself another little note down here. God doesn't need your help. That fellow thought he was helping God doing that. God doesn't need his help. God could have steadied that thing without him.
God doesn't need my help. It's just by the grace of God He lets us do anything because we're not worthy. You know, that old kind of help is legalism. He doesn't need your legalism. You trying to say you got to do this and be saved to go to heaven. No, sir. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus, confess with thy mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteous. Well, listen. Don't need any more added to that. Well, you gotta get saved, but no, there's no but in there. That's legalism when you add anything to it. Well, preacher, these people you're talking about don't look like they're saved. I know it, but that doesn't mean they ain't saved. I don't know if they're saved or not. I just know it ain't the right way they're going. Or that new help. He don't need your new help either. That liberalism, modernism, materialism, worldlyism, humanism. That's all crept into church. Now, he doesn't need your help. You say, but preacher, we need an AA program. No, you don't. You need a one-step program. Turn to Jesus and get saved. But preacher, we need cell groups. You can have those next time they lock you up. We don't need them down here. That's where everybody sits around a circle and they'll read a little booklet and they'll discuss what that booklet says. And half the time, they ain't got nothing to do with the Bible anyway. We don't need your help. God doesn't need your help. He doesn't need new kind of help. He doesn't need old kind of help. It's all in Jesus or it's not at all. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Amen? He doesn't need our help. Preacher, I know how to fix this. He doesn't need your help. Just pray. He'll fix it. Amen? Well, we need to change. No, no. We just need to go to Him. Seek His face. God changes things. Amen? Amen. Hey, that Ark of that Covenant, it come down through there, and boy, they praising God. Look, I hear what's coming. Woo! They're having a good time, man. And that thing hits a rock, and that fellow didn't give it one thought. He thought about it a second. He was raised right. He was an Israelite. He knew the law. If he'd have thought about it, he wouldn't have reached up there to help God. He'd have jumped back and said, if it falls, God's falling with it. I think God will take care of that. I ain't touching it. Amen? There's some things we just don't need touch. Let God take care of it. He's the one that set it in order. He's the one that set it up. He's the one that keeps it going. Not just church, everything. Family, everything. Even your health. Doctor comes in there and says, well, it looks bad. It looks like you're going to die. I say, well, you ain't got the final word on that. You just have an opinion. Amen? You're still practicing. I know the one that created it. Amen. I could preach all night. I'm done. Let's tell the old story. Travel the old paths. Don't move the landmark. Hey, it was good enough for mom and papa. It's good enough for you. It was good enough for grandma and grandpa. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for you. Amen. 298.